You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
All right, let's talk about Sean Don.
Let's do it, man.
Big Sean, who apparently this album I decided is likely going to debut at number one.
Of course it is.
We should point out Migos debuted at number one last week.
They did.
Good for them. But his numbers look down compared to Dark Sky Paradise.
Yeah, because he doesn't have a single.
That is true. So I want to definitely talk about that. I think that's super interesting. We had talked about the idea of sort of recapping or sort of revisiting briefly his career.
Yeah.
I know that you didn't get a chance to actually like really go deep on each album, but like
I didn't, and that makes me mad, and I'm really sorry to our listeners.
But I wanted to sort of like I'm not going to talk about the Finally Famous mixtapes. But like real quick, I went back and skimmed through most of the stuff, and I thought it was interesting because there's sort of like an up and down pattern with him, right?
Okay.
So Finally Famous, the debut album. This is summer 2011. I mean, you've got the single with Chris Brown, My Last, which I didn't love it, but it was okay.
Hey, you can't go wrong with Can You Stand the Rain?
Marvin and Chardonnay, which I'll tell you, 5.5 years later, I don't know how well that's aged. But that was a hit.
It has Roscoe Dash on it.
I know. It's also, and this is really interesting, like it was just super interesting to hear something from 2011 because it was 5.5 years ago, but it might as well have been 10 years ago.
Or yes.
Because there is clearly a dividing line. And
yep.
The Hall of Fame era Sean is closer to that. Like it's only 2 years later. Hall of Fame is 2013, but Hall of Fame actually sounds modern. That Finally Famous album might as well be a 2008 album.
Wow. Yeah.
It doesn't sound at all like how rap sounds like right now.
Yeah.
And then the dance record and the remix with Nicki, which at the time we were all like, yeah, that's a hit.
Yeah.
And now you listen to it and you go, wow, this is so gimmicky.
Yeah. I have a song about derrieres. Let's get Nicki Minaj on it.
And let's sample MC Hammer.
Yeah.
But this is, you know, this is hashtag rap era Big Sean.
Yeah.
But like outside of those records, even though he's got a lot of No ID on here, he's got a Neptune's record on here, there's a whole lot of
I mean, remember Beware was the single.
That's off Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking Finally Famous.
Oh, yeah. So there's like, I feel like I Do It was a single.
It was a leaked, yeah. It was like, not a leaked, but it was like a street single as we used to call it.
Yep. I feel like So Much More was a single too.
I don't know about that. But I mean, oh man, I forgot Chitty Bang is on here.
Who?
It's really hard to explain.
So that was back when Kanye was just giving out scraps on the floor, crumbs on the table.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of No ID here.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. No ID produces at least half this. But yeah, like Finally Famous, outside of those like those singles, there's just not a lot there, right? Then he has the Detroit mixtape where they tried to make Moolah work.
They really wanted to make Moolah work.
But here's the thing. If you go back and listen to Moolah now, it works. They were too early. Moolah sounds totally modern.
Young Chop.
Right.
Yeah, there was a wave where people were getting Chop a little too early.
Like, this sounds...
This is when Lex Luger's sound was still...
Right.
Somewhat like the modern, the prototype sound.
Yeah.
And Chop was kind of a little different. Yeah.
That it's tweaked a little bit, but like even the difference between like Detroit is sort of like this, it's 2012. It's sort of that in between period, before trap totally took over. But Detroit, I used to love, like, I used to think that was like his best project almost.
You did. How is it aged now for you?
I still love Higher. You know, some of these other records, though, I'm like, they're cool. They're cool. I mean, yeah, they're cool. There's a lot of Million Dollar Mano. There's a handful of Million Dollar Mano records on here. A couple Key Wayne records. Basically, the prototype for 2088 with the first Janae record is on here. Yeah, there's some cool records on here, but nothing obvious. Like, they really tried with Moolah, and then right after this, I think they really tried to make Guap work, right?
Yeah, they did. They really tried to make Guap work.
Right, they tried Guap end of 2012. That didn't really work.
No. Nope.
That still doesn't work.
Yep.
And then they ended up with, so for 2013 is Hall of Fame, and I think they mostly ended up with Beware as a single.
Yep.
They tried Fire as like almost like a single.
Yep.
Hall of Fame is a fascinating album.
Yeah, because I remember we didn't like it when we reviewed it initially, right?
I liked it. You did not.
Okay.
There are records on here that, like, Nothing Is Stopping You is actually pretty dope. That's Key Wayne. I'm a big fan of Key Wayne.
Key Wayne's dope.
Fire, at the time, everyone was like, oh, it sounds like an old Kanye beat.
Yeah.
10 to 10 is...
Yeah.
That might be the first time I ever... Is that the first time I ever noticed a Travis Scott production credit? I'm not really sure. But like, Toyota Music is ridiculous. You Don't Know has a dope sample. Beware isn't bad. Is this Toyota Music?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. When that bass line comes in.
Different scene, same game, different league. Living life, I hope that everyone I love will get this scene.
There's this little interlude, and then. Oh my goodness, it's coming.
That's dope.
No, wait.
That's dope.
It's coming in a second. Yeah.
Interesting.
Toyota Music's hard.
Dang it, man. Oh, why does my life never have time for anything?
Toyota Music's hard. There's some records on here. He's still trying to do the gimmicky thing, like the MILF record with Nicki and Juicy J.
Yep. Were you trying to push that single?
I did because I'm still thinking like Dance Big Sean. I'm thinking Oh, he needs to go a little gimmicky, you know?
Yeah.
You know, there's the Miguel record, which is meh.
Selling Dreams was way better than Ashley.
You know, they threw the Moolah remix and Switch Up and Guap on his bonus tracks. Like, this album baked for a long time. And it's way more consistent than Finally Famous, but they couldn't get a single to hit, right?
Yeah.
So they flipped it. Then on Dark Sky Paradise, I mean, before Dark Sky Paradise, he has that EP the year before, like not the whole year before, like 5 months before with I Don't F With You, Paradise. Oh.
Yeah, the SoundCloud EP that he put out.
Fourth Quarter, Jit Juke, right? Those are on that little EP. Which,
and then I don't F With You was like his biggest record.
Right. And so all of a sudden now you've got this massive single, but like the album wasn't there because that wasn't part of the process, you know?
Yeah.
So then they come back early 2015 with Blessings, which was gigantic.
That blows up, yeah.
Right. Shout out to Quentin Miller.
Yeah.
The Drake Stimulus Pack, one of the biggest examples of the Drake Stimulus Package I can ever possibly remember.
Yeah.
The Kanye record didn't really work, but they tried. But they didn't need to because they had I Don't F With You, they had Blessings. I mean, frankly, and then they went sort of.
Play No Games was a single.
But they didn't really have to push it. Instead, they went with One Man Can't Change the World.
Oh.
And yet they were sitting on singles. Like Play No Games could have been really big. I mean, the record with Janae, I Know, is actually the prototype for that Rihanna record Needed Me.
What?
It's that slowed down DJ Mustard like sort of sexy R&B sound that Mustard hadn't done at all yet. This was the first time he did it.
Interesting. Okay.
So almost too many singles.
Yeah.
Right. And then they had some bonus tracks like that actually could, you know, like it's interesting because like he put the record with Ariana Grande produced by Dahi and Metro Boomin as a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Like he had too many things to put out there. And so it's his biggest album, the most singles. It's arguably his most consistent album.
Yeah. I would say that.
And there's records on here I totally forgot about, like Platinum and Wood, produced by Key Wayne, is so dope. And it's like the last bonus track, and they just sort of tossed it on there. even the Party Next Door record works. Like, there's, you know, there's a lot of stuff here. And so coming out of that, you would sort of expect, okay, this is the blueprint, right? Now, granted, it's hard to be like, yeah, sure, every single time I come out with an album, I'm going to do I Don't F With You and Blessings. Like, that's probably not realistically happening. That's a little crazy.
Yeah.
But he had proven, like, I've got big singles, but it's also, like, kind of more consistent. And the singles aren't gimmicky. Like, it's not like the dance record. It's not, you know, it's these are just dope. Like, he had really big, dope singles. So then instead, we get I Decided. So there's 2088 happens in the middle and the whole thing with Janae, but I'm not really talking about personal life or anything like that. Although the personal life matters because he has decided to make and I can't believe I'm saying this about a Big Sean album. He has made an introspective album. Big Sean.
That
is not something I would have associated.
Yeah, I guess the question is, and we talked about this, what do we want from our artists in 2017?
Right.
You know, a record like Migos is like, do we want to listen to that? Do we want to listen to them rapping about absolutely nothing when our country is in peril? Right. Or, you know, or just a transitional period, we'll say that. Very important time. Or, you know, do I want to hear Migos rapping about, you know, building the wall and, you know what I'm saying, the Muslim ban and all that stuff? Probably not. So somebody like Big Sean who...
I mean, if they use the Versace flow, that might be pretty dope, though. I'm not really...
You're stupid. So you got somebody like Big Sean who is very underrated as an MC when it just comes to rappity raps. But can he put together conceptual, introspective songs? Because he has a couple that will hit, but then he has One Man Can Change the World.
Right.
Which is one of the worst.
It's schmaltzy.
What does that mean?
You know what? Let me actually get a definition for you. I'm trying to figure out this. Schmaltzy is excessively sentimental.
Ah.
So like you might describe a ballad as schmaltzy.
Now what kind of ballad? Are these like Bryan Adams?
Yes.
Ballads?
Yes.
Oh wow.
Like that, you might call that schmaltzy.
So are you telling me that Big Sean made an album of Bryan Adams and Michael Bolton?
No. I'm saying One Man Can't Change the World might be the Big Sean version of Everything I Do It For... No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God.
Might load that up in the Ableton Push tonight. I don't know.
Yo.
I'm just kidding.
Tell you, I'm trying to rap, dog. We're working on something.
So I Decided is... introspective in some ways. There's no like big singles here. In fact, he sort of leaves a single on the cutting room floor because the record with Jeremiah and Chance Living single, that was the obvious move. And it's not like they didn't clear a sample or anything because it's on iTunes and Apple Music.
You are 2 weeks out from Valentine's Day. There is no reason why that record isn't, there's not a video for it right now.
So instead of pushing that, he's out there performing moves on the Ellen Show, which is one of the weirdest things I've ever seen.
Nah, I could see bounce back or moves on Ellen because Ellen dances. You don't want to do a song about living single on Ellen. I wouldn't do that. I would have did moves and would have had Ellen awkwardly dancing.
except he had the sort of stage setup for his Ellen performance was a bunch of elderly people like dancing while there's like a walkway for him to like go through. And he actually opens it up, like he's sort of crouching at the end of the hallway, and he actually like doesn't like alter his words at all for TV. So there's a bunch of old people ready to dance, and he's talking about a sex game. Like, it was weird.
You see, I just didn't respond to that.
Anyway, I can't believe
so,
living
so
single
how
is
about
not
we
the
get part. A bunch of old people, right? We like how did whatever, whatever. Hey.
So. Right, I guess the singles are what, Bounce Back and Moves?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, we also heard, what else did we hear before the album came out? Halfway Off the Balcony.
Halfway Off the Balcony.
And he did.
I believe Jump Out the Window.
And he did Sunday Morning Jetpack on SNL.
Yep, that's it.
I mean, that for, you know, 14 tracks, that's a lot. So no obvious big singles. Like people, no, I'm not saying anything bad about Bounce Back or Moves. Like people like those records, but like not like, you know, he's... I'll give him credit. He's not trying to be like, oh, I need an I Don't F With You.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't say, oh, let's get the gang back together. Drake, who do you got now? Let's do Blessings.
Right. Blessings Part Two.
Right.
Still blessed.
Still. Hashtag still blessed. All one word.
Oh, Jesus.
Exactly. Listen, you walked right into that one. Anyway.
I did.
You did.
Do we want to go? Do we want to go track by track?
I have track by track notes, definitely.
That's fine. First off, let me first say that this cover is really, really dope.
It's actually not that dissimilar from. It feels. I mean, this in terms of color scheme, he definitely likes his color scheme because this is very similar to Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, dope cover. And actually, I think that's actually just a still from the Halfway Off the Balcony video.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know what the color means. I just like the color schemes.
Yeah, no, it's a dope color scheme. So there's an intro. I mean, I should point out one thing that was really interesting about looking at the credits of this. He definitely is taking the good music Kanye West approach to things. Some of these tracks have like four or five producers on them. But there's a guy who's a constant theme here. His name's Amare Johnson, who I don't think we've ever really heard of. He produced One Man Can Change the World, but he's Sean's keyboardist on tour. And he is all over this album.
Mm.
So it'll be interesting to see if he sort of gets a little more work. Now, a lot of cases, I mean, I think he's got production or co-production on at least 9 of these tracks, which is interesting. Like, there's only one Key Wayne record. So a little bit of a different sound for Sean.
Yeah.
So intro is an intro, whatever. The first real song is Light featuring Jeremiah, produced by this guy Amare Johnson and Big Sean. Actually, this is the same chords as that 213 Kanye record, right?
Yeah, this is a Eddie Kendricks.
Thank you.
Sample. Yep.
Thank you. Intimate Friends. It's technically an interpolation, but yeah, same chords. How do you feel about this record?
It's okay.
This isn't bad.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'm not mad at this. Sean and Jeremiah, it's a good combo.
Yep.
I feel like Jeremiah needs an album.
I don't know what Jeremiah needs. Jeremiah needs to just be freaking, I don't know, man. But that dude is ridiculously talented.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, isn't where I guess I feel like he should be at or he could be at. I don't know.
Yeah.
But whatever.
He could be the 2017 dream if you wanted, you know?
Well,
I mean, not so much. I mean, in terms of sound, like, I don't think he doesn't produce like Dream or anything like that. But you know what I mean? Like, he could do those records. I mean, he basically has.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the next record is Bounce Back.
Yep.
This has grown on me.
It has. Same.
I should point out, for some reason, Kanye and, who else has background vocals on this? Oh, and Jeremiah have background vocals on Bounce Back. But, am I crazy or and this is not the only place where there's an influence here, but like, does Sean sound a little bit like Quentin Miller era Drake on this?
Yeah.
This feels a little 10 bands to me. Like,
yeah.
The way it's sort of constructed. And actually, there's a lot. I feel like there's a handful of songs where there's definitely some, if you're reading this, it's too late, like inspiration.
Yeah.
Which seems unusual to me. The one thing we haven't talked about, and we'll talk about it at some point, we might as well do it now, because he I think he does it on Bounce Back, but he definitely does it on a number of records, is Sean likes to fall into this trap of rapping in a certain A-B pattern, where he'll do part of the verse in one flow, and then he'll do his watch me as I stack up syllables and try to cram a lot of words into one bar flow. How do you feel about that?
Sean's rapping style doesn't bother me. Sean's rapping style, it bothers me because it's so effortless.
Like, on a technical level, I really, like, it's funny because I'm critiquing this stuff, but like, I almost really feel like Big Sean could rap any way he wants to.
Yeah. It's really understated how good of a rapper he is.
You don't mean lyricist, you mean rapper. I don't want to say like on a technical level to discredit his lyrics, because he can write, but like, to me, it's on a technical level, it's so effortless, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, he puts words together that I don't even think about putting together.
That's like, true. Words
that rhyme, and I think that's the most, for me, if you don't really have any content, if just whatever you're doing is very unique and engaging, then I'm cool with that. And Sean doesn't say anything other than, you know, talking about buying his grandmother a house and, you know, whatever else he has going on that involves money, clothes, and his ex-girlfriends that his mother constantly confuses. He can just freaking rap. So, you know, I don't mind his rap style. Not one bit.
I think part of it too is like the tempos on some of these records are so similar that I think he just sort of gets into,
there you go.
I think that sort of gets him in a certain pocket.
There you go.
And I think that's just 2017.
There you go.
Yeah.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Okay. So yeah, Bounce Back. It's grown on me. That's a little bit of a sleeper single for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are we mentally prepared to talk about No Favors? So produced by Wonder Girl.
Oh, Wonder Girl did this.
Yep.
Okay.
Featuring Mr. Marshall Mathers.
Yep. Yep.
So let's start with Sean. How do you feel about Sean on this?
Sean was good. Sean is often in the cut of a couple of very lyrically imposing records. People forget he was on Control. Control was his record.
That's true.
He was on another one though. I don't remember. And now he's on the record that's pretty much the talk of the internet, or was the talk of the internet on Friday, because, you know, things change immediately.
Right.
With this Eminem verse. So Sean was good.
Yeah. And again, actually, the beat feels actually sort of, again, if you're reading this, it's too late. I'm getting a little vibe off there. But M's, and I like Sean in this too. I agree. Eminem. Oof.
Well.
Where do we start?
I'll do it.
Okay.
Because I'm the MC of the show.
Yeah. Okay.
So just because it's very, this is why I'm so heavy on content. Maybe it's because I'm getting older. Maybe it's because, you know, I take pride in the fact that me as an MC, I can string words together, but then I'm still saying something of relevance and of weight. There's a skill and a science of doing that. Now, if I'm just putting words together because they rhyme and there's no fluidity to the conversation, the topic, whatever, that's very easy to do, but it's very lazy. And it's literally like it's hot sauce from the N1 mixtapes. Just dribbling, putting the ball in my 6XL white tee, bouncing the ball off your head, just dribbling. Meanwhile, the shot clock is going down and down and down. And that's what this Eminem verse was. I don't think that's lyrical at all. I don't think Eminem hasn't impressed me lyrically, in a very long time. And this just further confirmed that for me. It's lyrical acrobatics, which, you know, it has its place. But for Eminem to be what people say he is, nah, then my expectations are much higher, because I need you to be. If you're going to be that, then people are going to have to prove that you are who you are. It's like how we talk about J. Cole not really being as deep and introspective as people give him credit for. He gets on these deep introspective songs, but then he raps about like having sex with girls. Like this isn't introspective. He'll say one thing that's introspective, and then the whole song will be introspective. So now I'm good.
Yeah, I feel like somewhere along the way, Eminem learned he learned the wrong lesson from his verses. I feel like he is somebody who is not helped by the success of Genius. I feel like Genius, in the community, which I applaud. I use Genius all the time to do research for the show. But there is definitely a fetishization of rhyme schemes and complexity and, oh, look what this, you know, look at this crazy multi-syllable rhyme scheme. Like that, there is, you know, when M was M, cause this, I don't know what this is anymore. When M was M, he was doing that, but it also fit within the context of a song.
Yep.
And it was, you know, he might not have been rapping about anything of like, you know, there was no serious content, but it still kind of made sense in a way.
Yep.
None of this makes any sense. The rhyme scheme is incredibly dense, but I don't really care because it's sort of a, it's almost like a, it's like an, like, it's almost like an SNL skit version of a modern Eminem verse.
Yeah.
Like, he's got the, it's like, oh, sure, talk about Ann Coulter, talk about Aaron Hernandez, talk about Jamie Lee Curtis. Like, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, it, come it's, on. Like,
it's also painfully obvious that Eminem does not leave his house.
I think.
Or
which,
turn on.
Which is sad. Like, I think that doesn't help him. I also think in a weird way, like, the tempo in this is slow enough that it just encourages him to cram as many words into a bar as he can.
Mm-hmm.
But so you made a basketball reference before talking about hot sauce and and-one. So in basketball, there's a term called a ball stopper where like you're trying to run an offense. You pass it to a guy and that ball is not going anywhere until he takes a shot, probably with like 1 second left in the shot clock.
Yeah.
That is Eminem.
Yep.
You pass the ball off to him and the song has to stop completely, basically. And he's just going to rap as long as he wants to rap and he's Eminem. So what are you going to say about it?
Yeah.
And eventually, if you're lucky, you might be able to figure out a way to put a hook at the end of it. But it doesn't work. Like this isn't a song. This is just him cramming words over beats.
Yep.
Which I'm not interested in.
Same.
Eminem used to make songs.
Yep.
What happened? He did the same thing on Compton.
Yep.
It was a total ball stop.
Yep.
So, you know who else sometimes gets to that is sometimes that happens with Andre too now.
Oh, 1,000%.
Right, where it's like, I'm sorry, is this a song?
Hey, can you come back? Where are you going?
Andre?
Yeah, like he'll get into his own head.
Right.
And he'll just float away.
Right.
And then he'll come back and, sorry. Oh, but he's the GOAT. No. He's great, but nope.
Top five? We're not having this conversation now.
I don't have a top five, but if I had one, he wouldn't be in it. I have a GOAT and everything just pretty. I have a GOAT. I have a favorite. I have favorites, and then everything else just kind of flows from there.
True, but yeah, like, and please, as always, use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers or hit us up at CRS Podcast and tell us why we're wrong. But like, no,
you can tell us why we're right too.
You could tell me, yeah. You could tell us why you're mad. You could tell, like, no, really, like, no favors is no. But I think it got a lot of hype because I think people were making fun of it.
Mm. Did I send you that video?
You did.
Okay.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep. Oh, well, I didn't say this. I do like the beat, though.
The beat's cool. I'm sort of, I don't know. I feel like I'm done with these beats, but maybe not.
Sure. Nah, I get that. All right, let's move on.
Let's talk about Jump Out the Window.
Yeah.
With More Jeremiah.
Yep.
Produced by Key Wayne.
Here's my problem with this song.
Oh, no.
This totally should have followed Living Single.
Mm.
No favors, Living Single, Jump Out the Window.
Well, you could cut No Favors, but I hear you.
Well, I'd be like...
Right, Living Single plus Jump Out the Window. That's a nice combo.
Yes. And I say that just because I like the way on the album, I like how Light goes in to bounce back.
Yeah, I agree.
And then No Favors to go back into Living Single, it brings it down, and then Jump Out the Window, and then Moves is another turn. I like that.
That would be good sequencing.
Yeah.
But no, Jump Out the Window, I got to say, like, when you see the title, you're almost thinking, oh no, we're not going to talk about, but instead it's, you know, Sean is describing somebody in what sounds like a, we'll just say not good relationship. And you know, Sean wants to swoop in.
Yeah. You know, hip hop loves to steal other people's girlfriends. So. Yeah, but I like this record. I think this record is dope.
I like this record too. I like this beat. I think,
yep.
I think it's different, which is good. It's like the placement here works because, like, if you would have done No Favors, Bounce Back, No Favors, and Moves, you need something in the middle there.
Yep.
So Jump Out the Window works really well. I like this record.
Yep.
I like this one. Let's talk about Moves.
Let's do it.
Produced by Fuse and Trey Pounds. I don't even know who those are. And most of these have, a lot of these have co-production from the guy, Amari Johnson, as well. But Moves was sort of a single. Like I said, he did it on Ellen, which is kind of funny. But, you know, look, when I said that this was an introspective album, this is not one of those records. This is a Big Sean record. Like, what I might traditionally call a Big Sean record.
Yeah.
It's cool. Like, it, there's a lot riding on that bass line.
Yeah. It's the beat in the flow.
Right. It's the beat in the flow.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about this though?
And it's okay.
It's okay. It's cool.
It's okay. It's a record that it's good driving music.
Yeah. I agree.
It sounds completely different in a car, and it sounds completely different in a good way.
Yeah, you have this on headphones while you're in your cubicle. It's not really working.
Nope.
But in the car, it works.
Yep.
I agree with that. Same Time is a very short, essentially 2088 interlude.
Yep.
Produced by Myra Johnson. Yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about this?
It's okay.
It's okay.
I totally could have... I get why he did it, but again, Living Single. If you're going for the another chick record, Living Single's right there.
Well, right. I mean, here's what I don't get. Like, so he does this interview where he talks about how for his contract, everything more than 12 songs he has to pay for, right?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to do intro, which is a minute long, and then how are you going to do Same Time, which is a minute 29?
Right.
That doesn't make any sense to me. The 2088 thing is like I feel like theoretically there are some times where Janae and Big Sean work well together, but I just don't know if like the concept of 2088 really works to me.
It's not as engaging as it presents itself.
Right.
I'll say that.
So after this, you get Oh Me, produced by Mustard, Myra Johnson, and Travis Scott. This record's cool.
Yeah,
it's cool. I do want to talk about Halfway Off the Balcony, though. I like Halfway Off the Balcony.
It's okay.
I like this one. I think this is also produced by Myra Johnson. Yeah, it is. To me, this is when I heard this, I realized that he was at least on occasion going somewhere different. Like this is in no like there are some lines on here where I'm like, all right, that's a little cheesy, like kind of. But like this is Big Sean rapping about. Like, this is very much like him in his head.
Yeah.
In a way that a lot of rappers don't always do, and especially Big Sean. Like, you know, like if like 2 years ago, if I tell you, like, describe, like, the Big Sean brand, like, you're not going to come up with this record. So I think it's definitely different. I like that. But I don't know. I like the beat. I like the sound. I like this song.
Yeah.
But, yeah, your leg is cool?
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay. What's next? Voices in My Head, Stick to the Plan.
To me, the rest of this album just begins to jumble together.
Yeah, Voices in My Head, Sticks to the Plan is weird. So it's kind of two parts, but Voices in My Head kind of comes back a little bit. It's produced by DJ Dahi, Metro Boomin, DJ Khalil. There's a handful of people who co-produce on this. Voices in My Head, the first part is cool. Stick to the Plan. Oof. The beat sounds like... so. Remember the movie Batman Returns?
Of course.
You know, like the Tim Burton music there, like kind of like the Penguin music. All right, now put some Metro drums on that. That is what Stick to the Plan sounds like. Plus, Sean is yelling out what sound like Quentin Miller Drake hooks, and I'm just not really here for. I'm not really here for Big Sean yelling.
Yeah.
I'm good. So this is a skipper.
Yeah, I'm totally good on like the rest of this album.
Sunday Morning Jetpack, it's not bad. That's a cool album cut with The Dream. Inspire Me, produced by Detail. I had high hopes for that, but it's cool. Sacrifices is basically just a Migos record that he jumps on.
Yep.
That's Metro and Alan Ritter. And then the last record here, Bigger Than Me. I know that Sean loves to have like that last record be like quasi-inspirational, like a big record. He likes to have one of those towards the end.
Yeah.
But I like Bigger Than Me. It's got a choir on it. It's got some... I like the samples on it. I'm like, yeah, I like Bigger Than Me. It's not amazing. It's not the best record ever, but I'm not mad at that closing out the album. Okay. Overall, how do you feel about this record?
I think the first half of the album feels completely different than the second.
So what do you draw the line at 2088 or?
Yeah, once it hits 2088, it kind of nosedives to me. Mm. It's not whack, it's just not engaging. But the beginning of the album is sequenced very well and allows the first, I don't know, five or six records to really stand out. And I really wish, and maybe I'm just mad that Living Single's not on the album.
I just can't believe that's not on the album.
just doesn't make any sense because that record is super duper tough.
Right. You could have cut a whole handful of these and put that in instead.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, frankly, you could have, you know, let's say you cut out Voices in My Head, Stick to the Plan, or, you know, I get it. And like, he has this whole run of skits where like he's not dodging, but he's like not answering his mom's calls. And then like Inspire Me is like the makeup for that because like he's talking about his mom inspires him. Like, I understand he's trying to tell this like story, so he won't cut Inspire Me. In the Migos record, he probably wants that. But like Voices in My Head, Stick to the Plan, you could cut that out. You could cut out Oh Me. If you cut out one of those and stick in, you know, and rearrange, like a record like Living Single could have really anchored the back half of this.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm good.
To me, it's a, I mean, it's just a step back in a sense. Like, I think it's unrealistic to expect that every time out he's going to have like huge, gigantic hits. But I feel like, I don't know. Maybe it's just like the people he was working with or the groove that he was in. But I feel like this is a very, like, this is definitively trying to not be a sequel to Dark Sky Paradise.
Yeah, but yeah.
And whether that's good or bad, like, I think that informs everything that happens here.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I think his problem is, and we talked about, I brought this up last week, is maybe he's just an every other album artist.
That might be. I mean, that's why when we recap the run before, like, it's clear, like, he's sort of bouncing between, you know, from things, like, he would go up, you know, a lot of big singles, albums, you know, a lot of album cuts. Big singles, now he's back on the album cuts. So, maybe. I mean, but here's the deal. This is going to go number one. So, like, this is going to go down as a success, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, I think this comes out at number one because, like, what else is out there for music right now?
Yeah.
It's not like there's a whole lot dominating. So, this gets to go number one.
And that's why, I mean, I've been saying that for months. Like, everything goes number one because it just seems like there's one major release a week.
Right. It's pretty scattered.
Yep. So it's not back in the days where, you know, you've got three or four dropping on the same day and they're fighting, they're jockeying for position.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So, you know, is number one, you know, how much of a success is that? Like, for real?
I mean, it's interesting. Like, he clearly, I mean, I don't know. So either he has enough success where he can make an album like this, or, you know, the label looks at this as, you know, look, whether we have a big single or not, Sean's got a big enough name now. He's got a big enough fan base. They know roughly what numbers they expect him to do. As long as he does something like that, then he can go tour and do whatever else. Like, then everyone's happy. So in a sense, like, the fact that he even gets the freedom to make a record like this is kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? But I feel like he gave them, I feel like they let him do that because he gave them singles. And he's coming off of, you know, I Don't F With You, which is such a big record. It kind of gives you more room.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I don't know. I will say, like, it just feels, there's just, I mean, even the, like, to me, like, Bounce Back and Moves, they almost just feel like, this just feels like an album full of album cuts.
Yeah.
Like, I know, you know, Bounce Back is kind of, you know, is you know, I think that actually, I don't even know how it's doing, but I feel like that's doing all right.
Yeah. Bounce Back is doing all right.
Right.
It's not like super duper blowing up, but it's okay.
But it's doing all right. Yeah. What else is Big Sean? I'm trying to think. What did Big Sean do last year? He was on Holy Key.
Okay.
And he popped up on Champions.
Okay.
That's it.
Still kind of riding the success of I Don't F With You.
Right. You're right.
He did a tour, I think.
Probably. Yeah, he definitely did a tour. He did a huge tour, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, in that case, you don't have to put out any music. And that was the point of, like, fourth quarter.
Right.
Or something. I don't know. Something. I know he's putting out some SoundCloud records. Oh, No More Interviews and No More Questions or something like that. Like, he's putting out little Lucy's here and there on SoundCloud.
That's true. Oh, and you're right. Play No Games did do a, was a single. Because the video was like Martin, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
So he was able to stretch Dark Sky Paradise nice little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, Dark Sky Paradise went on for a little bit, yeah.
Yep.
All right, man. Anything else you want to say about Big Sean? So, like, what is Big Sean? So is there any other obvious singles off here?
I think Jump Out the Window is the next single.
Think so?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the next single. And then they kind of, you know, he's cool now because he's kind of coast, Bounce Back and all that, still doing his thing. And then No Favors is carrying the conversation. And then he's got Jump Out the Window in the back pocket. And I think that'll do well.
And then by the time that happens, he's probably moving on to the 2088 project.
Yeah.
Do people really want? I don't know. I mean, so I don't. I admit I try not to pay as much attention to rappers' personal lives as I possibly can because, like, I'm just not even trying to go there. Like,
yeah.
Do people is do you feel do you get a sense that there's like that people are like interested? Like, oh, I want to know more about Sean and Janae.
Yeah, okay. I think that they have garnered or generated some interest in them as a couple, especially dealing with how they got together. And she got divorced and
right.
Yada yada blah blah blah.
I mean, in an interesting way, like I don't know if they'll be able to execute, but like there's definitely an opening for like the 2088 project to be way bigger than the first one.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, like 2088 was almost dope.
Mm.
Like they just need to.
The record with Casey and JoJo is crazy.
So they've got like the potential is there. They just need to tweak it, and once they figure out what to do, it's a wrap.
Right. The 2088 record. I'm trying to think. That only had like 8 tracks, right? Yeah. 2 minute warning is all the fire emojis. It's crazy.
I forgot what that record sounded like.
Detail produces it. It's ridiculously dope. Yeah.
Like I remember it. I just don't remember what it sounded like.
Right.
And I remember you liking it a lot.
Yeah.
I remember it's, not bad. I just don't remember.
It's really dope. All right. Anything else you want to say about Sean?
Nah, I think we're good.
Think we're good for this week?
I think we're good for this week, man.
Well, all right. So thank you everybody for listening as always. I'm trying to think, is there anything else? Is there anything coming out next week? I guess this week, I see what I'm saying. I don't really know what else is coming out. What happened? I thought SZA's album was supposed to come out. What happened?
Who?
SZA.
Who?
Don't do that.
I have no idea.
It was supposed to come out Friday, and then it got delayed.
Yeah. I'm looking. Okay, so next week is Lupe.
Mm.
That's it. And then after that is nothing. And then after that is you got Odyssey, Thundercat. Then we're into March.
Oof.
Nothing. March 10th.
Good thing we can, because the Grammys this weekend, right?
Is the Grammys this weekend?
Yeah, they are. So we could talk about the Grammys.
All right, then we might need to make a phone call. We might need to dial the bat phone for that one.
So aside from that, I don't really know what our schedule will be because we're not trying to put, you know, maybe we, you know, we might have to do another Definitive 15. Could be a good time for that.
Perhaps.
But thank you everybody for listening as always. Use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers. You can find us on clockradiospeakers.com, fourthdistrict.com, and hit us up at CRS Podcast. And yeah, we'll catch y'all later.